We'd like to welcome you to The Journey from the Hill. This is a weekly podcast of Chapel Hill Baptist Church. Each week, you'll hear biblical teaching from our pastor, Dr. Shannon Moses. At the end of today's podcast, you'll hear a way to reach out to us with any questions you might have about this message. Now, let's prayerfully listen as Dr. Moses opens the Word of God.
Good stuff. Good stuff. How's 2025 going? How's your year going? Has it been a good year? Well, we're 19 days into it. A little assessing. And I'm not talking about how's your work going. I'm not talking about how's your finances going. How's your relationship? How's your spiritual journey going? You're only 19 days in. Nobody's fallen off the wagon. Nobody's to a point to where we say, it's unfixable. Yeah, it is. It's fixable. Nobody's gone too far. To check yourself. Check your walk. How's your prayer life? How's your Bible study? How's your walk with the Lord? See, that's a question only you can answer. I can't answer for my crew, and my crew can't answer for me. It's we individually stand before the Lord. We individually go to bed there with Him in the quietness and stillness, and we wake up with Him in the quietness and the stillness. It's us and Him. I've been thinking about today, think about this message, think about these verses. You know, it's easy when you're reading through the Old Testament. And I know many of you are on different plans and you're reading in different ways, whether you're chronological or reading through books and you're in the Old Testament and you see how the Israelites over and over and over, they mess up. And you know, one of the things that I used to say all the time when I was younger and I'd be reading through it, I'd say, why do they just keep doing that? And then as I got older, I realized that, wow, they're a lot like me. They look a lot like us. They look a lot like the church. They know the right thing to do, and they don't do it. And, you know, as you read through Scripture, we're blessed to have it. We're blessed to have, especially these Old Testament passages, the story of the children of Israel being led out of Egypt into the promised land and God leading them and them falling flat on their faces and God picking them back up and then falling back down over and over and over. You know, and there's a tendency to wonder, why did He just keep putting up with them? I mean, you know, it's a question we have to put on ourselves. Why does He keep putting up with us? Go with me over to a text found Paul's writing to the church of Corinth. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. There's a lesson here for us, and it's a very important lesson for the church, for us, the body of Christ. Because we're in a war, every single one of us, we're in a war. Devil don't want you growing. Devil don't want you walking in a manner worthy of Jesus. The devil doesn't want you paying any attention to spiritual things. He wants you chasing the things of this world and not things of the Lord. That's what he desires. And as long as he can keep us chasing and running and not doing, then it's, he's kind of got us. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul writes to the church here in Corinth and he explains and he gives us some insight into why we have today all of this back here and why it's important for us to take note of it. Because really, they're very similar to us. They're very similar to us in that just as they mess up, we mess up. There's a purpose for it. Look at beginning verse 1. For I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea and all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink and they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them and the rock was Christ. Here's the deal. Every single one of them got the same thing that you and I get here in the Spirit of God. They saw God work. They heard truth. They saw truth. They knew it. They heard it. They saw the fire in the day, at night, and the cloud in the day. They saw the manna and the quail. They saw the water burst from the rock. They saw all of these miracles. Just like you and I see. We see God absolutely show out all the time. They saw it. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were laid low in the wilderness. Now these things happened as examples for us so that we would not crave evil things as they also craved. Now listen to this. We're not talking about lost people. We're talking about the church. We're not talking about people that don't know truth. We're talking about people that know truth. We're not talking about people that we read about in the news and read about in the paper that's gone off and done foolish, horrible things because that's what lost people do. No, we're talking about people who knew Christ, who saw the miracles. They literally, these are men and women who saw the water fall back on the Egyptian army. You know, it's like when we read the Old Testament and we watch, it's kind of like watching a movie. That's the way I explained it earlier. It's kind of like watching a movie. And you know, take a horror movie, for example. You know what's behind the door, and you're sitting there saying, don't open the door, right? You're like, and you see the woman. She just, oh, I wonder what's back here. And she swings. You're like, don't open the door. You're just sitting there like, don't open the door. Reading the Old Testament is kind of like this. Don't do that. It's kind of like watching a movie. It's like, don't go in there. Don't go over there. Stop. You're going, there's a chainsaw. Do you hear the chainsaw? Don't go to where you hear the chainsaws. You're like, oh, there's a car over there. Don't do it, nevertheless. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not well pleased, for they were laid low. Now, these things happen as examples for us so that we would not crave evil things as they also craved. So we have an example of look, these people knew truth and they craved things. You don't have to. These people did things. You don't have to. It's not like verse 7. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and stood up to play. Verse 8, nor let us act immorally as some of them did. As 23,000 of them fell in one day. Nor let us try the Lord as some of them did. It's like, you see the examples that Scripture has of men and women making absolutely foolish decisions over and over again when they see and know the right thing to do and they don't do it. It's like, you don't have to do that as they did. Nor let us try the Lord as some of them did and were destroyed by the serpents, nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now, these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instructions upon whom the end of the ages have come. Look at verse 12. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. See, what Paul is telling the church here is, look, in the Old Testament, all right, put it on our world, put it in our context. These guys, they went to church and they heard the truth and they knew right from wrong and they went to Sunday school and they memorized scriptures and learned the 23rd Psalm and knew the Ten Commandments. They knew Psalm 100. They knew the books of the Bible. They knew it. They knew it just like you know it. And they did all these things and you don't have to. We have it as an example because we don't have to go there. We don't have to do that stuff. Every single one of us, have what I think is the most powerful and dangerous thing all at once, and it's choice. We can choose. We can choose. And you know, I view it like this. It's kind of like, how many times have we, what if you could come up out of your body and like look at you and look at me, and we see, and you kind of see it, and you hear the conversation started, or you see it going there, and you're just like, hey, I know what's going to happen. I know the outcome of this. I know where this is headed. You've done this before. You've gone down this path before. Don't go there. It's kind of like watching that movie. Don't open the door. Don't go get in the car with a chainsaw, dude. Don't go there. And guess what? It's easy for every one of us to say, oh, I would never. Oh, I would never. Let him who think he stand take heed lest he fall. Guys, there's not one of us in this room, men or women, boys or girls, that is above a fall. There's none of us that are above making some really bad choices and really bad mistakes. You know, it's easy for us to look over into other people's worlds and say, oh, I would never do that. Remember Wednesday night we talked about different package. No, I may not do that, but you know, what I do is, it's just a different sin. It's got a different label. It's a different thing. You know what I was thinking about as we read over, it's like, you know, we hold these men of old, these women of old up in such high standings in our lives. They're in the Bible. These were men and women who followed after God. And there's one example that God gives us for some reason that is so graphically clear. And it's David. Turn with me over to 1 Samuel. And I'm not going to be able to cover all of this morning, but let me encourage you, before you go to bed this day, 2 Samuel, before you go to bed today, read 2 Samuel 11, 12, and Psalm 51. 2 Samuel 11 and 12 and Psalm 51. God gives us a very detailed example that I don't have to sit here and give scenarios and give what if you did this or what if this happened or what if this happened. No, we have here in Scripture a guy who the Bible says is a man after God's own heart, and we see clearly all of this played out. You know, when you think about your own self, when you think about your own walk, what is it that trips you up? If you read on over, if you go to that next verse 13 over in 1 Corinthians, it says, there's no temptation which is overcome you except that which is common to man. We all have it. We all have something. We all are going to face something. We're all facing something. And what I'm talking about, here's what I'm not talking about. I'm not talking about you're going to face cancer. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about you're going to face this huge big old deal. No, I'm talking about you are sitting here right now knowing good and well that you need to be in the Word of God more. And that you need to pray more, and you need to walk more, be more committed, and you need to be without a shadow of a doubt that you need to be a wholehearted, devoted, committed follower of Jesus and Him alone. You know that. What's keeping you from it? Probably not cancer. That's horrible, but it's probably not cancer. It's probably not divorce. It's probably not bankruptcy. It's probably, you see what I'm saying? It's not a big something. No, usually it's a subtle little something. It's a subtle little thing, and here's what happens. A subtle little thing, the first hour of the day and the second hour of the day and the third hour of the day, and before long, half the day's over, and then you get into the rest of the day, and before you long, it's like, man, I missed it again. I'll do better tomorrow. And you know what? The devil's like, ch-ch-ch. We're like, no, it could never happen to me. How many days back has been, ch-ch-ch, got him, Got him. But it can be big, though. It can be big. The story of David's hardcore. This example that's found in 2 Samuel 11 is not a game. God is so clear for us right here. And the detail is so graphic. Because, you know, why did God put it this way? Why did it happen this way? Why did we see it as this is an example. We have an example, so we don't do this. So what we can do is we can look at this and we can see, I don't want to do that. I don't want to go there. I don't want to be in that situation. And just pull out from it the truths that are laid there. Look at verse 1. Look at what it says. Look at the first little bit of verse 1. Then it happened in the spring at the time when the kings go out to battle. What happens based on the word of God? What happens in the spring that all the kings do? Let me read it again. This is back and forth. Second service, don't talk like first service. Everybody do this. Everybody say, hey, preacher. I didn't hear everybody. Everybody say, hey, preacher. Good. It's okay to talk in second service. Second service is always like, what am I supposed to do? Talk. It's okay. So what are you supposed to say? Hey, preacher. Good job. So the answer to the question, then it happened in the spring at the time when all the kings go out to battle. What do all the kings do in the spring? Exactly. There they are, Casey. They woke up. They go out to battle. That's what all the kings do. They go to battle. Then it happened in the spring at the time when the kings go out to battle that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the sons of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David stayed in Jerusalem. Was David where he was supposed to be? Guys, a lot of times it can start right there. Not being where you're supposed to be. Everybody else is there, but you're here. Being in the wrong place. Just being in the absolute wrong spot. Everybody else is doing it, and you, here you are. You have, listen, it can be physically, or it can be mentally. It can be, you can just checked out, and I'm just here daydreaming, and my mind is wondering. Guys, the war is right here. The war is in the brain. And no, in the spring, we don't go out to battle, but every single day of our lives, we are in a battle. And instead of us waking up ready to fight, we just like half-heartedly wake up like, oh, I'll just do whatever everybody else does. Or here's the deal. I'm not gonna try it all. How many times, honestly, let's get down to us. How many times when you're in the wrong place and you're all by yourself, let's see what this verse is literally saying. David is all by himself. The servants aren't watching him. Joab's not watching him. All of Israel's not watching him. He's alone. And nobody will ever know. Let him who think he stand take heed lest he fall. Nobody will ever know. Nobody will ever see it. Nobody will ever find out. That is a dangerous place to be. And every single one of us have that right here. Nobody sees what you think. Nobody sees where you go here. Nobody sees what you're doing here. Nobody sees. Nobody knows what you're dreaming here. Nobody. David was in a dangerous place. Where should he have been? He should have been at battle. But instead, he was left idle. Church, that's a dangerous place to be, is left idle. Let him who think he stand take heed lest he fall, because there's not a one of us in this room can overcome, can control, can beat, can win. Don't test it. Don't tempt it. You know, we, every single one of us, we all, there's not an adult in this room would encourage their kid to go do it. There's not even an older kid in this room that would encourage a younger brother or sibling to go do it. But if we're not careful, let him who think he stand take heed lest we fall. We play dangerous games in dangerous ways just like this on a regular basis. And look at what happens. In the wrong place, the wrong time, not where you should be. Nobody's holding you accountable. Nobody's checking you. Which, by the way, is guess what? I'm sorry, but that's the American dream. Me do what me want to do, and there ain't nobody going to stop me. We have a license. It's as if nobody's going to tell me what to do. It's almost like the deck is stacked against us, isn't it? Nobody's watching him. Nobody's looking. Everybody's gone. All by himself. Now, when evening came, David arose from his bed and walked around on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof, he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful in appearance. Guys, gals, what did Eve first do when she saw the apple? She looked at it, and it was pleasing to her sight. First of all, David had no business being there. He should have been out fighting. And okay, he's got idle time on his hands, and he's just wandering around, and nobody's watching, and nobody's checking him out, and he's just out there looking, and he's like, holy cow. Stop. Is looking evil? No. Is looking sinful? No. Is looking a problem? No. It's not bad. Looking's not bad. Looking's not wrong. It's not. And every one of you, here's the deal. Every single one of you are going to this context, and I want you to be careful, because if you just stay in this context, you'll walk out those doors, get in your car, and say, that ain't no problem of mine. And you'll hug your wife and say, we good, honey. And you'll continue down your own sinful path unchecked. Because this may not be your package. You see? Whew, preacher wasn't talking to me today. I'm good. I'm glad we're... Let him who think he stand take heed lest he fall. It's not a game. It's not a game. We've got all the people in the Old Testament who we saw stalwarts of the faith, godly men and women that we thought there is absolutely no way that one would ever trip. Every single time they do. We're no different. We're no different. He's looking. And here's the deal. So David sent and inquired about the woman. And one said, is that not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And here's the deal. I said this earlier, and I say it again. What we should do right now, every single one of us, is we should take our Bible, we should close it and say, wow, that's Uriah's wife. That's a good-looking woman. That's really cool. Casey, come lead us in a song. Let's all stand, sing an invitation, and head off the hill. That's what should happen. That's Uriah's. That's not yours. None of your business. You shouldn't be there. It's not your, that's not for you. That's somebody else's. You stop. How many times? Okay, get rid of the whole man, woman, female. Get rid of that whole thing in your mind that you're going to and second service of Chapel Hill on this morning. What is it that God is telling you? What is your package? No, it may not be a man or a woman, but what is it that says, hey, that's not yours. That don't belong to you. Get to where you belong. What is it? That's somebody else's. You leave it alone. You follow me. And every one of us should say, yeah, thank you, Lord. Yes, amen. Let's go. Not my problem. Not my business. Not my issue. Not my struggle. Not mine today. I rebuke you, Satan. Lord Jesus, I trust you. Help me. Oh, preacher, nobody lives like that. That's no fun. But what does he do? What does he do? He sent for her. David sent messengers and took her. Who is her? Somebody else's. Who is her? Somebody that God said clearly, that's none of your business. Who is her? Something he shouldn't touch. And God said, I want you to, and David sent messengers and took her. And when she came to him, she lay with her. And when she had purified herself from her uncleanliness, she returned to her house. And the woman conceived, and she sent and told David and said, I am pregnant. I encourage every one of you to finish chapter 11 and 12 and read Psalm 51. Here's the thing. It may seem innocent, and it may not seem like much, and it may not affect nobody, and everybody, listen, everybody else may be gone off to war or gone off to town or gone off to school or gone off to work or gone home for the day, and nobody's watching. And you got all that time on your hands. Nobody's holding you accountable, and nobody will ever know. God knows. God knows. Oh, but I'll never do nothing that bad. Pray to God not. Don't go there. Remember, 1 Corinthians says, look, he gives us this as an example for us. Let him who think he stand take heed lest you fall. Listen, those things happen so that you could read about it, so you could learn about it, so you could see what happens. You're like, this is the first time I've ever heard that story. David goes on and kills her husband. This kid, this baby, it dies. It only goes from bad to worse. It gets worse and worse and worse and worse. And the enemy will lie to you and say, oh, nobody will ever know. It's not that bad. It's only one time. It's simple. And here's the thing. Do not just allow your mind to think that context. Because what starts out little, when we're not where we ought to be, I started this question this morning with, where are you spiritually this year? Brother Shannon, I'm really still not in a good place. That's a dangerous place to be. Brother Shannon, I'm not in the Word. That's a dangerous place to be. Brother Shannon, I'm not praying like I should. Danger. I'm not around brothers and sisters. I kind of, listen, you know you. I bop in this week and you'll see me in another 3 months. And then I'll bop back in and I'll give you some wonderful excuse. Ain't one of you in this room would keep a job like that. They'd fire you in a heartbeat. But I give God what I can give him. Really? Starts out like that. Nobody can tell me what to do. You're right. We have this as an example for us so that we do not fall. We don't have to. It's kind of like that movie. It's kind of like that movie. We step out, it's kind of like us sitting on our seats. You know, we see David. We kind of lean up and he's asking about her. And we're like, don't do it. And he finds out who he is and we're like, don't do it. And we see him sin for him and we just sit back in our seats and our hearts sink. We're like, no, we didn't. How many times, y'all, do we know the right thing? And if we could step outside, if this one of you, if you right now that is hanging on to every one of my words, the Spirit is speaking. If every one of us could step outside of ourselves and watch us and be like, don't go there. Don't do that. Don't think that. Don't act that way. Don't say that. Just don't. We don't have to. The enemy wants to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to steal the joy of your salvation. He wants to take your happiness. He wants to make you miserable. He wants you to feel condemned. Listen, there's therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. We're about to sing Good, Good Father here in just a second. We got a good Father that understands that we're weak, that understands we're prone to wonder, that understands that we are broken and that doggone it, shiny things we chase after them and useless things we chase after them. And for some reason, God saw fit to save mess ups like us, like me. Praise God. But I want you to hear this morning. You don't have to. Check yourself. Check your walk. Check your walk. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Your problem is not a human being. Your problem is not a person. Your problem is not a boss, a family member, a teacher, a coworker. Your problem isn't. Well, if we could just get rid of him, her, them, or that. Guess what? When you finally get your way and you get rid of him, her, them, or that, guess what? Another him, her, them, or that comes along and they just as messed up as the first one. They ain't the problem. They not the problem. Lord, I want to serve you with all my heart. I want to trust you. I want to walk in obedience to you. I want to love you. Let's pray. Let's pray. Say these two things. Two prayers. First of all, repent. Say, Lord God, forgive me. And then just talk to him a second. You and him. And now say this. Plead this, beg for this. Pray a hedge of protection over your life. Pray it. Pray that God would put a wall so high around you and so high around your heart and so high around your eyes and so high around your walk. Pray that God would just be so heavy and so powerful and so on you that the power of hell cannot prevail. Remember what the devil told God when God said, hey, have you considered my servant Job? And Satan says, hey, you've got a hedge for protection around him. Listen, pray for that. Say, I want the hedge that Job had. I want the protection Job had. I want it over my family. I want it over my life. You don't have because you don't ask. God in heaven, I come to you right now on behalf of every person in this, on behalf of me, my family, this staff, the deacons, the Sunday school teachers, the musicians, every family member. I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that you would put a hedge of protection around us. God, that you would guard our walk, that you would guard our hearts, that you would guard our eyes, our thoughts. God, help us to be, Lord, not where David was. We don't want to. Lord, when we get alone and we get by ourselves, whether it's in our mind or physically, God, help us to keep our eyes on you. God, help us to not wander. Help us, Lord, in the middle of when there's nothing else to do. God, help us, Lord Jesus. Help us. We're weak. God, protect us, Lord. We plead your protection. We plead you have mercy on us, Lord. Help us, God. Help us all. God, we cannot stand on our own. We cannot. We don't want to fall. We can't do this life on our own. We can't do any of it on our own. It's you, Christ, in us. It's you in us. God, take us, wrap us tight. Hold us close. Be patient with us. Thank you for not condemning us. Thank you for giving us today. Thank you for letting us say, Lord, I'm sorry. Thank you, God, for letting us in to know, God, you hear our prayers. You hear us, God. You hear us. Bless each one. We give you praise in Christ's name.
We hope you received a blessing from this week's message. If you have any questions about what you've heard from Pastor Shannon this week, you may call our church office at area code 205-339-4071. We pray that God's word strengthens you as you go on your journey today.